that has big time camp. What the movie will be the ultimate champ. You might be finger crazy, my finger diseased, but do you watch another chance to find the best of this?
We rate each movie in 5 categories, none of which are objective quality.
It's Stan, Gene, Jack and Nick who watch it till it's finished, because the love for this movie can be diminished. And make the film's plot has no rhyme or reason, but that's a part of charm.
Colin Brad is off the season.
It's low budget film that is most true. They find a flick that monster boogaloo.
Kung Fu Electric Boogaloo. Kung Fu Electric Boogaloo. Kung Fu Electric Boogaloo. Kung Fu Electric Boogaloo.
Yuck Mala! Yuck Mala! Welcome back, my friends, to the Kung Fu Electric Boogaloo. This is Season 11. We are entering the Octagon. I am your host, 8th Dan Stanadu, and I am so happy to be with you today, and I'm even happier, if that's possible, to be joined by my good friends. I have Jack Hall.
What's up? I wish I could be as happy to see you as you are to see me.
Well, you know, I don't have to look at you, so really that's what makes me happy. And
that does help.
Then I also have James Kata.
I'm happy to listen to you and imagine you, I guess. you're kind of like a young Brad Pitt.
It's like the Benjamin Button era.
the creepily de-aged one in Benjamin Button.
You realize that Brad Pitt now still looks younger than he did Stan did 20 years ago.
I watched True Romance, and he looks younger now than he did in True Romance.
And now we have the aged Quentin Tarantino of our group. This is Nick Boxer.
Motherfuckers, do you got your cameras on? Because I don't see nobody. Talking about seeing each other.
Oh, well, you know, we try sometimes, and most of the time we don't. But
I like it better when we don't.
Yeah. We are here to talk about a new movie that is about to enter the Octagon. This one's from Jim's Scum and Villainy season. This one's called Transylvania Twist, a Jim Wynorski movie. And I know that we have a fondness for the Jim Wynorski. None more than Jim, of course, because his fondness for Jim for Wynorski goes way beyond.
far beyond anything.
We're in the middle of the Enter the Octagon, where each one of us put a movie up to compete for a season that if they win, we'll be doing that season. So this is your pick, Jim. So tell us the concept and the name of your season.
So the season is called Scum and Villainy. And we have talked about doing a season of highlighting a particular director. And I thought I would kick it off with the great Jim Wynorski, who has directed over 100 films.
Yeah.
And
that's
written
the problem. We have to do this. We have to pick 8 films out of 100. That's going to be damn difficult, especially since you've seen them all multiple times.
I am still working through my first pass, honestly. It's strange that I haven't quite gotten to 100 films in the last 6 months by Jim Wynorski, though it might be upsetting to and troubling to people that I've gotten to about 60.
Well, we know for a fact, though, that it is not Jim's job to explain Transylvania Twist. We know it's Nick's job. So, Nick, get on it.
I said this before, motherfucker, leaving me with this job.
You thought it was all awesome before we started.
You're like me. You watched this, I think, a year and a half ago. Get ready for this. It's a long time. Start recording times.
All righty. Young kid or youngest kid or an actor playing a kid that's much younger than he really is returns home to attend his uncle's funeral. Only his uncle isn't dead. His uncle pops out of the casket and tells him about the problems he's having about an overdue library book. Sends the kid to L.A. to collect this book from the guy's daughter. The daughter doesn't know where it is, but she receives news that her father, uncle, somebody died in Transylvania, and she's going to the funeral, and maybe the book's there. So because the kid is horny, he follows her to Transylvania, and wackiness ensues, I guess.
In fairness, I'd follow her to Transylvania, too.
Oh, yeah. No. The frontal balloons were working for me as well. I'm just saying.
Wynorski is known for his first casting of actresses, which involves acting second. One actress described their audition as he had her go into the backyard and then jump up and down and then ask if she could act.
Yes. Please store your flotation devices in the upright position.
Other than some truly horrific or horrific musical numbers, that's about it. This movie is sort of like Airplane in Transylvania and plays out exactly like that, only yeah, let's just leave it at that.
Yeah, it's
not sure I put in the only.
It is a parody. Yeah, it's a Mel Brooks type, probably. It's in fact that's the thing that really got me about this film was the last thing I expected, because I didn't know anything about it going into it, and Transylvania twist, Jim Wynorski, you know, I think I know what I'm going to expect, and then I did not get at all what I thought I was going to expect.
Nope, not in the least.
I did not expect the film that we just reviewed before this, that came from 1934 to have significantly more nudity than the 1989 Jim Wynorski movie. But that's what happened.
It's interesting because I started making notes for the scoring at the end, and then I realized, wait a minute, this is actually all intentional. There's no like unintentional funny in this. It's all entirely intentional. Oh, I know what kind of movie this is. Okay, then I can go along for the ride now. But and that's what it is. Yeah. It's a ride.
Naked Gun. Those things.
Yeah. I'd compare it more to Top Secret because it's
That's fair.
It has a bit more meat to the overall story than. An Airplane, which is really like threading together sight gags. There's more comedy that's based in the situations as opposed to...
Barely, come on!
But I think what's remarkable about this film is how almost funny it is. Because every joke, I was tempted to give a snicker and then didn't.
I found it pretty funny.
And I mean, even like the music, there's probably the best song is I Want Some Action. And I almost liked it. just almost started grooving it. No, not worth groove-worthing. It's just about there. I could see somebody loving this movie if they had been recently hit in the head.
Wow. The soundtrack's available.
I liked it a lot more than that.
Yeah, since then? Well, I like the soundtrack's available, but I was going to say, like, I really like this movie. I think it's very funny. It's totally not what I expected, but I think it's really fun.
Okay.
Yeah, no, I thought it was pretty funny. I thought some of those jokes were pretty clever. It's a lot of pop culture of the time and a lot of movie and TV parodies. And if you're old like me, and you remember 1989, then it can work for you. Like, I didn't think, I thought everybody gave good performances too. I thought all the you know, everybody was a fairly talented cast and well written and a well made movie, and not at all what I thought would be a Wynorski movie. It's difficult to, I can't shit on it. I just can't because I liked it too much. But I also don't think it was terribly boogaloo.
I clearly it's been too long since we recorded. I didn't think shitting on it was what we were trying to do. Well, no, but one of us. So sorry, you couldn't, I guess.
Well, one of us just did though. One of us did not enjoy it there. And, you know.
Sorry. You know what? I'm really on the edging tangent here, so the Amos thing is just really the.
Yeah. No. I mean, it's a good. It shows that Wynorski is a good filmmaker, but he just doesn't always. You know. I mean, it's. I think. Didn't he say this is like one of his favorite films or something like that? Or.
It was his favorite experience filming a movie. He said usually he, you know, he's done with a movie because you know, he has up to a week of screenwriting time, sometimes like 4 to 5 days of pre-production. but this one, he said he didn't want the shoot to finish. There's also, you know, several of his regular collaborators are in this film. You know, the amazing Monique Gabriel, who we've seen many times in the show, shows up as one of the daughters of Dracula.
Oh, was she in it? I didn't even notice.
I think she's only got two or three lines. She's one of the daughters of Dracula, the three of them that always walk around together.
Oh yeah, okay.
And the taxi driver, which was my favorite gag in the movie, was the New York cabbie that meets them at the train station in Transylvania, and he just like, why? How are you here? He's like, they just gave me a really bad area to cover.
Yeah,
like, he's a Brooklyn cab driver. This is his beat.
I love the fact that Forry Ackerman's in it.
Yes, Forry's in quite a few. He shows up in a lot of Wynorski. Well, because Wynorski and Fred Olen Ray were doing a ton of movies with Corman at this time. So kind of that whole crowd, you know, Forry, whatever Forry was around, they'd shove him in a movie. That cabbie's played by a guy named Lenny Giuliano, who is 26 credits in Wynorski films.
Did anyone else think it was kind of odd that Forry didn't actually speak?
No.
No. Not at all. Forry Ackerman, I mean, he ran a magazine.
I know.
What's the other game line? Yeah. Sometimes they get a line and sometimes they didn't.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, he was Famous Movie Monsters. That was the magazine, wasn't it?
Famous Monsters of Filmland.
Yes.
There you go. I was close.
There's a quote actually that cab driver says that I have heard over and over. It must be sampled in some song. I remember what it is. It's the line is actually from Night of the Living Dead, and then the cabbie says it again. That's why it's they're dead. They're all messed up.
Yeah, that's right.
I remember that. Yeah. Yeah. So how many PG movies has Wynorski made?
At this time, very few. Like, I mean, this is 89, so this is within his first 20 or so movies. So this may be the only one at that point. Now he's made G-rated movies, because more recently he's making family movies.
But in 1989, the idea of a PG-rated, you know, Wynorski movie seems just crazy.
Yeah, I imagine they were trying to get that, like, I mean, this is the VHS era, and you're, Nick had mentioned the songs. I think they were, I kind of felt like they should have leaned into that one way or the other, like, a couple more songs, it would have felt like a musical. So it's a bit, but kind of, again, more like Top Secret, that it's got, you know, those couple of kind of weird show pieces.
So now, Jim, as the Wynorski expert of the group, now, obviously, the ending is open and allows for a sequel. Now, was Wynorski intending a sequel? Does he have a sequel written?
Don't know anything about that.
And you do have to keep two of the things that's worth noting here is he replaced another director pretty, you know, I mean, he wasn't the original director of it. And the guy who was the original scriptwriter was fired by Corman for being difficult. So, I mean, I don't know at what point in time he came in and made this the Wynorski movie.
Yeah. He's taken over. He took over so many movies over the years, because we, you know, Deathstalker 2, wasn't it? He got a movie taken away from him.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah, like he's got tons of credits where he shot part of the movie or took over from someone else.
This is, Charles B. Griffith was the original director. And I don't know. Let's look him up because I have no clue who he is.
Gone on to great things.
Yeah, clearly no Wynorski. Bucket of Blood, Little Shop of Horrors, Death Race 2000. So mainly, from the 50s to the 60s, let's say the 60s and 70s.
I mean, definitely basically. some like big time little stuff.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, those are called classics.
I love that little guest appearance by Boris Karloff, who had been dead for
years. Oh my god!
That was fun. From the terror. That was fun.
Yeah, lifted from the terror. Yeah,
just lifted it from the terror. Never had the actors actually on screen with him, but had them talk to him and then cut back to him to make it look like a conversation. I don't know. I mean, it was insane. I don't know how they managed to make it work. I don't know that it made the film any better. I didn't like it as much as I liked the Honeymooners parody.
The Honeymooners, that was notable right there. Because I love the fact that with that Honeymooners that they decided to go to the set and go into black and white. Like, those kind of elements, I think, are what elevates this from being just an attempt to do this to being, truly... Not fun. Not just an attempt, but like a really good execution of this kind of movie.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Same with the 3D thing, where they were in a 3D scene, but now they don't have 3D glasses, so everything around them was just blurry red and green. You know, very inventive in that way. So I think it's fun. It's of all the movies that you could think of from Wynorski, and you say it's PG, and they're probably trying to, hit a certain market, but of all the films of his that I could have seen become actually something that – there's no reason this would put it this way. It wasn't on, a constant on late-night television because it is a PG movie. It was, parodying things that were popular at the time. It's better than it had, any expectations for. So, I mean, this is a film that I'm really surprised. I think it could have become a bigger, more well-known thing.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, I agree.
I don't have anything else to say about it. Do you want to score it?
Yeah, sure.
I'd like to go watch it again, but do you want to score it?
Well, that's usually what we do when we do this thing.
Yep.
Cool. Did they get a bonus for having Monique Gabriel in the very first frame?
No,
don't think so.
If it has Monique Gabriel in every frame,
even in a PG movie.
Well, luckily she did make that one porno, hardcore porno. It's if you want to, I did. I did want to, and I did.
the one from earlier in her career, or the several she made.
No, the one that, in her career. No, the one in her career where she's actually performing hardcore, not the one where it's a hardcore movie and she's around naked in it, but not doing anything hardcore. Yeah,
yeah, after she left acting, she started a film company, and her and her husband and some of their friends made a bunch of different scenes.
Yeah.
Yeah, God bless her.
I would so interview her for the show.
All right. Well, in our search for the ultimate B movie, we rate each film in five categories, none of which are objective quality. The first category we call schlock appeal, and we start with Stan.
I mean, again, this movie's really appealing. And I've been kind of arguing with myself about how I would score this movie because I think that it's really funny. And I was convinced that I was watching Boogaloo and expected Boogaloo, given that it was Jim Wynorski. And then the fact that it's this type of comedy, which of course lends itself to a wide open interpretation. And so ultimately... I don't think it's all that Boogaloo, so I'm just going to give it a 4.
Stan, could you if you're going to be arguing with yourself back and forth, can you actually give us an example of what that's like? Mm-hmm. I'd like to hear the Stan arguing with himself.
Oh, well, it's like, okay, so
Is there different voices or?
Well, you know, sometimes if it's like angry Stan, perhaps, then it's like, shut up, fucker. And then, just that kind of thing, you know, a little bit back and forth.
That's what's called negative self-talk.
Oh, okay.
You really need to be, go easy. Well,
that's not even angry Stan. That was the normal Stan. And then angry Stan, you don't even want to hear.
That's right. It's a little bit like Doom and the Devil and that kind of thing. So nobody needs that right now. It's all good. Carry on.
So is this all done? Okay. You know what, Stan? I would 100% agree with your score of 4 if this movie had a couple more blows pops. However, it doesn't, too.
Wow. Okay. Lots of appeal, not as much schlock as it could have had, though I think the opening was pretty damn schlocky. 7.
7 for me as well. More heart than budget.
But aren't you going to tell us why?
No, not particularly. Okay. Yeah.
He's good.
More heart than budget. Do we have a reported budget on this?
I could not find a budget on it, no.
Yeah, again, an interesting one, because, of course, when you have an expectation of Jim Wynorski, you expect this guy to be able to do a whole lot with very little. And absolutely, there is definitely the music video at the front using a shit ton of his stock footage from other movies. That's great. There's no question that that's a good use of a budget. He's definitely got some big stars in this one. So, well, big-ish stars in this one. And so I think that
Robert Vaughn being the biggest. I don't think we mentioned that he was in it yet.
That's right. And Lord knows, I mean, we'll talk about him. But I think what it all comes down to is that he does a good job of making the kind of movie that he wants to. Because he's Jim Wynorski, I'm giving this score a lot on name only. 7.
Yeah, no, this, everybody's giving it their all. They're all having a great time. I don't think anybody wanted this shoot to end. And even the delivery of the jokes, even the ones that don't work, you can tell everyone's in on it. So yeah, this movie is all heart. And although we don't know a budget, it is a Roger Corman film, so it's low. I'm going to give it an 8.
Yeah, I'm also going with 7 on this one. It elevated itself above what it should have been. On the other hand, there wasn't anything where I went, wow, how did they pull that off on that budget? So, you know, I mean, it elevated itself above being a low-budget B movie into being really fun. I don't think most people would even be thinking about the budget watching it. So 7, I think, is a good score.
Wynorski said, this film comes closest to my personality and was the film I had the most fun making. It was the show I never wanted it to end. So 9 for me. I think everyone had a blast doing this. And I think Robert Vaughn just ate up, just chewed the scenery in the way that only Robert Vaughn can do.
He was incredible, absolutely incredible.
What the fuck moments?
This is the hardest one for me, absolutely, because when it all comes down to this kind of movie, everything is open. You can throw everything in, and nothing is truly out of place. So I think, I mean, when I first looked or started watching the movie, like, there's this fun part in the credits where it says your ad here. And I was thinking, oh, that's fun. That's a little cute. And then, of course, I carried on and I realized what this kind of movie was. And I think that's the only thing that actually stuck out to me as kind of being what the fuck. And I think probably because it was the earliest thing. Again, I'm only going to go with a 4.
Yeah, it's really hard to go high in the WTF on this one because, I mean, true, there's a truly horrific song by our male lead, but then he calls back to it and calls it awful about 10 more times throughout the film. Like, you thought this scene was bad, you should have seen the scene earlier. So it was all sort of planned. It doesn't really, like, that's not WTF. I can only give it a 3.
Yeah, it's really tough to do WTFs when the movie is essentially rapid fire jokes being thrown at you and like it is here. 3 sounds good to me. I mean, I'm sure there are some, but I can't really think of them.
I quite like the little subtle jokes. The your ad here actually shows up again later.
Yeah, that's right. It's a couple.
The laugh out loud one. That's like, I think it's the little bits that aren't, that attention isn't called to it because there's not a close up of that gag. There's not a close up of the new and used coffins. no one points to the tip jar at the funeral. These little bits that I think the bit where one of the vampires gets staked and there's this like fire hose of blood that comes out when Van Helsing stakes the vampire.
And then it happens to him again, of course, with the,
and then it
with
just keeps, yeah. It just keeps going, and then there's a callback to it. Like, it's,
I have that in the next category.
All right, personally. Let's get to the. I'm gonna give it a 7, and we'll go to the next category. Memorable moments.
Now, this is the one where I do feel like this one is a complete winner. I mean, we talked about the honeymooner scene. We talked about a lot of the great stuff. So I think a lot of the songs are really memorable. But honestly, for me, it's Robert Vaughn. Like watching him, like just go through and say those lines with such a gusto, like it was his only thing in the universe that he actually wanted to be doing was performing in this movie. And I'm like, now that is totally memorable. The jokes, some of them fantastic, some of them fall a little flat, but you know, he goes for it. And I just enjoyed the heart of the movie. I like, they enjoyed making it. I enjoyed watching it. If there's something that I'm going to remember, it's the fact that I just really enjoyed watching this movie. I'm going to go with an 8.
You know, I can easily see how you came to that conclusion. However, we hit a little snag in our recording schedule here, and it's been a couple of weeks since I've actually seen this movie. And I have to say, every time we sort of started discussing dates to do a record of this movie, I could not remember if I'd seen the movie and whether I was prepared for this particular record. Just none of it could stick. It was weird that way. And I'm not saying I didn't enjoy everything. Just nothing was like quite there that it resonated with me. So I can only give it a 3.
Oh man, I also
got. I'm being brutal, but
no. You got to be honest with it, man. And yeah. Like I say, I also got an 8 because I mean I look at the honeymooners, the 3D, the song, the blood, you know, stake through the heart, constant thing, and I just, for me, I'm like, I remember these moments vividly, and I also saw this a long time ago. So, I mean, to me, it's an absolute win that way. I mean, if there's one problem, it's that right before we're recording this, I couldn't remember the name of the damn movie.
The title
is very generic. Transmania Twist doesn't stand out. It's just like, I guess that's a line from Monster Mash, isn't it? That song? Something about that, the Transmania Twist. I don't know. I assume that's why they picked it as the title, but I don't know what really, you know. But other than that, I think there was, it was good for that. It was 8.
Didn't this movie also have an AKA? There's another title for this film, isn't there?
Is there? Not that I know of. Mm-hmm.
Jack bringing the trivia. I don't know. I didn't look into this.
Well, I did look. I mean, I looked for trivia on the theme, but I don't remember seeing another title.
Jack just figured that Jim would cover everything because he's the Wynorski
movie. On this one, yeah.
I love the I will remember the sight gag of the camera work in the library.
Yes.
The nephew goes to talk to his uncle about the book that's missing, and so the camera tracks through the library, and then at one point the camera passes a beautiful woman and stops, and the characters who are talking have continued on. And then they just play that gag out, which I really liked. I also like that that at the end, they have to destroy the book, and the moral of the story is that burning books solves your problems. So
that scene with the where they stopped with the girl, that was where I was like, well, Wynorski's probably going to get nude. Didn't.
And I will come back to this one, and I think this is going to be a good every couple of years kind of watch to, because it is. I watch Airplane every couple of years too.
Yeah.
9 for me. Crazy concept.
Well, these kind of movies, especially around the 80s and like the late 80s, were getting to be a bit more of a dime a dozen. And so I don't really consider it to be truly crazy. I mean, you're talking about a lot of movies that were ripe for the parody in these kind of moments. So for me, I'm only going to go with a 2.
Yeah, you look back at this era. I mean, this isn't even a novel concept for the genre, because I believe you had Saturday the 14th and Freaky Friday. I was going to say Freaky Friday, but it's a completely different thing.
Completely different. Yeah.
But they're really
basically
doesn't.
The same. They're the basically the same.
Yeah. But it had been sort of, that era, it was to be expected. This is what a wacky comedy was. So, yeah, not high. I'll give it a 2, just for mercy, because I was brutal in other categories.
So that's mercy.
That's the mercy. That's
hey, weak. It's one higher than score. I thought I was going to give it. So,
I got a 6 for it. I think the fact that yes, it's there was these parody type of films, in around this era, but the fact that this film is made by these people doing this type of movie, I think, is what makes it a crazy concept to me, as well as the fact that some of the particular parodies that they went with and did were kind of like, I think they would have had trouble selling that to somebody if it hadn't been Corman, who probably went, how much are you making for? $14? Good. Go ahead. But yes, I'll give it a 6.
Yeah, I was trying to figure out what reused set from another Corman movies that this must have been. Because I'm sure that they shot 3 movies on this set while they had it up.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going with a 5. I think all that stuff. It's I think there's a horror was in an odd place at that point. So it's really a throwback to horror that wasn't being made at the time. So that it's got a bit of a. Even the references to the horror that was coming out at that time, like the Freddy and the Jason and Hellraiser, is done in this kind of kooky way.
Well, they actually had the guy from Phantasm, the tall man.
Angus Scrim, nice. Yeah.
Like that was pretty crazy.
Nice. Okay. So in our every season we have 6 secret modifiers. This one does get a +1 for having under 500 votes on IMDb. The modifier we have for what do we call that? We had a word for it.
Obscurity.
Obscure. That's exactly. Thanks. It did not introduce any new people though. I look through it and I'm like, no, we've seen everyone in this. Everyone in this that matters, we have seen before. We also this season have the Will of the Gods modifier, in which I roll an 8-sided die, and if the evil number 8 comes up, the movie is punished by the Octagon. All right. It is a 5. No punishment this week.
No punishment.
I don't. So. You know what? I this was your movie. I call bullshit. I think it was an 8. And you're trying not to keep that score up. So yeah, that you can win the Octagon, but you're not going right. to.
No.
Because that would have made the difference between it.
between this and Maniac.
Exceeding or tying with Skidoo. At 55.5.
I'm sorry. How much was it?
56.5 is what it ended up at, which is halfway, which is right between Dracula AD 1972 and Skidoo.
Yeah, and I know there's Wynorski films out there that could do better, but I mean that's the problem when you're picking from 100, you're hoping you assume, but in this case I'm glad you picked it because I really enjoyed watching it.
And it's different.
Just not Boogaloo.
This is just something totally different than we've touched on in the show so far. So
you could watch. This is the Wynorski film from the 80s. You could watch with your kids.
Yeah.
I wish I had seen this when I was a kid.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Would have loved it for sure. Yeah, I mean, it's. I think it's a fine movie. Thanks for bringing it to our attention there, Jim. Much appreciated. All right. Well, so let's see now. Let's do some business and then we'll move on.
All right. Well, we are on Instagram at Kung Fu Electric Boogaloo. Also, our show sponsors are WeTalkPodcast.com. That is the home of the Octagon, where you can keep track of our search for the Ultimate B-Movie. Also, they have a Twitter and they have a Facebook. And you should subscribe to our show on YouTube and on your favorite podcast app.
There you go. And next episode is the one that we are going to be doing my kick at the cat, so to speak. The One Shit Wonder season, which is represented by Miami Connection. So I know that that there's going to be, that should be an interesting one to discuss, because it's crazy. May have some Google.
Prediction, it outscores Transylvania Twist.
Prediction, no cats will be kicked.
Also true. I feel like both of those are true. So yeah, that's what you have to look forward to in our next episode, and I do hope that everybody will join us for that episode. So I think I'm good. Is everybody else good? Yes, you are. All right. So for Jim and for Jack and for Nick, I am your host, 8th Dan Stanadu, and thanks for listening to the Kung Fu Electric Boogaloo.
It's out there, and it's been waiting for you.
You're dead, Uncle Ephraim.
Like hell I am.
This was rather unexpected.
It's Transylvania Twist. Two travelers come to a strange land to find the Book of Evil.
Excuse me!
Brought to a castle.
I insist you show us inside. There. That's what it looks like.
Where no one...
Orso, look out!
...should live.
He always does that. When we have guests.
And one of them just may be a vampire. The search is on.
A rubber bat.
Be there for the drama.
I will have that...
Be there for the seduction.
Give us some sort of sign.
An assembly of the most awesome creatures.
You didn't really expect me to swallow that, did you?
I swallowed it.
The movie's so horrific. It had to be called Transylvania Twist.
What's the good news?
There is no good news.
Never has this much terror splashed across the screen. See Boris Karloff.
You're kidding me!
You think I'm mad, don't you?
From the producer of Little Shop of Horrors comes Robert Vaughn, Terry Copley, in Transylvania Twist. It's twisted.
Oh, Uncle Byron, I can tell you're upset.